Every year I hear somebody say that the last day of the year is the Feast of Christ the King. And every year I say, well, not exactly. It's the last Sunday of the year. But the last day of the year is today, Saturday of the 34th week. So we conclude our liturgical year today. Tomorrow we begin the great and holy season of Advent. Not that we're going to hear any fireworks tonight or any celebration of the beginning of the new year, because the church's year starts with anticipation, preparation. It doesn't start with celebration. So a big difference between liturgical time and secular time. Yesterday, I attended a recollection, an Advent recollection for the clergy. One of the things that the speaker said, which I never heard before, is that the way the liturgical year is structured, ordinary time, the weeks of ordinary time, there are 34 weeks of ordinary time, 33 weeks representing the 33 years of the Lord's earthly life, and then the last week representing his life beyond this world when he reigns as Christ the King. Now, I don't know if he made that up or if it's really true, but it's a pretty good reflection on ordinary time. We spend the 33 weeks representing the Lord's earthly life and earthly ministry, and then after he finishes his task, he reigns in heaven. That's what we celebrated this week. And now we're on this verge of starting the new year. Today we will reflect on a theme that comes from today's gospel. The theme is written on your song sheet: beware of a drowsy heart. Or the way it says it in the gospel, beware that your hearts do not become drowsy. I know that it's considered more proper nowadays to put things positively rather than negatively. So instead of saying, beware of a drowsy heart, people might be more inclined to say, keep your hearts awake or stay awake, which is what we're going to hear in tomorrow's gospel. Stay awake, be vigilant. You do not know the day or the hour when the Lord will come. So tomorrow, first Sunday of Advent, will give us this same message. It's time to be ready. It's time to be vigilant. It's time to stay awake, not physically awake, but spiritually awake. I know that sometimes people hear this sort of talk as a kind of burden, as if the church or the Lord himself were putting more burdens on us. Now we have to do this. Now we have to do that. Now we have to stay awake. Now we have to avoid carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of daily life. Now we have to be wary about the day catching us off guard. And it's as if it's more and more heavy responsibilities. I think that's an inaccurate way of thinking about it. Better to think of it as the Lord respecting our human dignity and our freedom and calling us to be better. He's not forcing us, he's inviting us. I mean, after all, if we really want to fall asleep spiritually, if we really want to waste our life in drunkenness and carousing and get trapped in anxieties of daily life, we can do that. But it's not good for us to do that. So the Lord is saying, no, be ready for more. Rise to the occasion. That's why I say it's actually a great respect for human dignity when someone, the Lord or anyone else, expects more of us or invites us to do better. A terrible thing about our times is that many people think that we just have to accept the way things are. We simply have to let people be the way they are and not expect them to change. And you hear people saying this, all kids are going to get into drugs. Well, they don't have to get into drugs. People won't be faithful to their marriages. Well, they can be. This is the sort of thing we have to be aware of. It's not as if we just have to go with the flow of our nature or with the flow of the times. We can do better. And that's what the Lord is saying here. Don't get stuck in carousing, which is just self-indulgence, right? Carousing meaning living for pleasure, or drunkenness, filling ourselves up with not only alcohol, but with anything that's going to deaden our spiritual life. I know people who are drunk on video games. People get drunk on shopping. There's lots of drunkenness. Anxieties of daily life. Isn't that the condition of so many people? Every day becomes a time to grapple with fear, fear of the future, fear of inadequacy. And so that's the traps of modern times. We don't have to live like that. And the Lord is saying, don't live like that. Wake up. When I say this is a call, or it's a call with respect for human dignity, I think we can learn about it if we compare ourselves to the animals. I have this in mind because when I take my walks in the morning, I encounter this dog. Every day I see this dog. I know his whole routine now. I made a study of his behavior. This morning I learned the dog's name, Pong Pong. So I've been watching this dog. Now, the dog cannot be called to a higher life. It can't do any better than it does. It has its instincts and it has its experiences. It has its training. But you can't say, beware, Pong Pong, of carousing and drunkenness. You can't say, don't do this, Pong Pong. You can teach it not to do a certain thing, but you can't call it to a higher life. So every day, Pong Pong, for the past a couple of months, he would, when he was smaller, squeeze through the slats of the fence and run out into the street because he was small enough to do so. But in the last couple of weeks, he squeezes his head through, he squeezes his shoulders through, and then he gets stuck. And every morning when I go there, there's Pong Pong stuck in the fence. And he's not, I don't think, in pain. He's not crying out in pain, but he's kind of whimpering, barking a little bit, like, hey, I'm stuck, I'm stuck. He said, well, eventually he will learn, because dogs can learn, that he can't fit through that space in the fence anymore. So the helper comes, and apparently Pong Pong can't figure out how to go backwards. He can only go forward. So she pulls his head out, and then when she opens the gate to go out and water the grass, Pong Pong runs out into the street. He runs out to the car, he pees on the tire of the car. Every single day, pees on the tire of the car, goes to the next car, pees on the tire of the car, goes to about five or six cars up and down the street and pees on all the tires. Every day he does the same thing. And then it's time to play, and that's when he approaches me and starts to jump around, and you know, it looks like he wants to play, and he doesn't get it that I'm not there to play, and I won't play with him because I know that if I do, he'll learn that that's the routine. So I ignore him, he jumps around, he barks, and then he watches me walk away, and then he does something else. But every single day, same behavior. And I can't say, Pong Pong, why don't you try living a different way? Why don't you change your ways? Now, you can train him. I could beat him with a broom or something, or I could give him food. I know there's ways to change the behavior of a dog, but there's no freedom. There's no moral life. There's no looking toward heaven for a dog. There's no warning him against a drowsy heart. When Pong Pong is sleepy, he sleeps. When he's hungry, he eats. When he wants to play, he plays. And that's about it. It's a shame if people live that way. The Lord is saying, oh, don't live like an animal. Don't live like a dog. Rise to the dignity of a human being, because the Lord is saying, my plan for you is not simply to have a peaceful, secure, worry-free existence here. My plan for you is eternal glory. So in calling us to be vigilant and calling us to avoid the traps of anxieties and drunkenness and carousing, in calling us to be vigilant, he's saying, this is a way to prepare for the greatness of what is to come. And that's what we see in today's first reading. This is near the very end of the book of Revelation. And we know the book of Revelation is full of turmoil. It's full of the imagery of sufferings and persecutions and wild images. But here, the image is of a river of life-giving water, sparkling like crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the street. An image of abundance of life, an abundance of happiness, of security, abundance, life and more life. The trees that grow on that, on either side of the river, they produce fruit every month. The leaves serve as medicine. This is a place of just absolute abundance and security and good health. Nothing accursed will be found anymore. The throne of God and the Lamb will be there. His servants will worship him. So anyone who makes it to this heavenly city, the heavenly Jerusalem, with streets of gold, with the river of life-giving water, anyone who makes it to that point has arrived. That's what we're made for. To live in the presence of God, to live in worshiping God, united with everyone else who worships him, rejoicing without end, without any more anxiety, without any fear, without any weeping, no sorrows. This is what God has in mind for us. So when we reflect on the Lord's call, beware of a drowsy heart. We shouldn't simply take it as a negative statement, a burden, another responsibility. We should take it as a guide toward eternal happiness, a guide toward fulfillment, satisfaction of our deepest longings, because that's what God has in mind for us. So as we come to the conclusion of the year, and we've reflected all week on all sorts of tribulations that we will experience in this life, we keep our eyes, our hearts fixed on the goal so that we will take seriously this call to be vigilant, to not be drowsy. Spiritually, we remain awake because spiritually we have our hearts fixed on the goal. We're not like Pong Pong, who can't think of anything more than the next step of his journey. He doesn't plan. He doesn't have an idea of being better. He just does what comes naturally to him. We're not like that, or we should not be like that. Let's look toward the heavenly Jerusalem. Look toward the time when we will look upon the face of God with his name on our foreheads, a time when there's no night, there's no need for lamp or sun, because the Lord God will give us light and we shall reign with him forever.